Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 49 of Sports Evan with Mark and Evan. We recap the Yankees and the Mets and talk about the Knicks' number one draft pick. And a little later on in the show, we have a fantasy update with Sports Evan's edition, The Stones. We'll explain what that means a little later on. We have all that and more coming your way next on Sports Evan with Mark and Evan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Evan with Mark and Evan, episode number 49. We are almost there. I'm Mark Elliott.
I'm Evan Brandoff, and what are we almost there until?
Well, we're almost there until reaching a milestone of 50 episodes, which will be next Monday.
Yes,
Monday. Not Sunday, Monday, July 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we actually have a 50-second commercial about that. We'll play that a little later on in the show. It'll be a very exciting show next week. But we can't do next week's show until we do this week's show.
That is true. But should we... 50-second commercial, did you do that on purpose?
No. That is just a coincidence. That's how great the 50th episode is. Everything just revolves around 50. I don't know how it happened. But there's a 50-second commercial about the 50th episode next week, Monday, not Sunday, Monday, July 7th. It'll be featured. We have tons of guests. Tons. Like, you can't even hold them all because they're tons.
That is a good joke. Don't worry. He won't be making jokes next week because we'll have guests, and he doesn't usually try to do that. But... It'll be a very good show. Who are the guests that we're going to be having so far?
Tentatively, well, we're definitely having these, but we'll certainly have more. Jim Baumbach of New Bay making his seventh appearance, which means that after next week he'll have been on 14% of our shows. And you may think that's a lot, but his goal is 20%, so we're not there yet. So we will see him much more, but he'll be on next week. Making his second appearance on the show, NBC Sports anchor Bruce Beck. He'll be the first guest of the day at about 8:05. Jim Baumbach will get it about 9.
Oh, for the show is 3 hours.
3 hours. 3 hours of at least three guests. And also at 10 o'clock, making his third appearance on the show, Fox broadcaster for the NFL and MLB, as well as the voice of the New York Rangers, Kenny Albert.
And he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. They're all nice guys. Very nice guys.
We haven't talked to Bruce Beck in a while. How long ago was that?
I can certainly find out, but I won't do that at the moment. It was definitely sometime in 07. I don't think it was an 08 appearance. So, it's been a while, but we got him back. No worries about that. All right, so now that 5 minutes have gone by in the show, why don't we get started. So again, we'll recap the Yankees and Mets, the Knicks, and later on Sports Heaven's version of the Stones. We'll explain that later. They'll be giving us a fantasy baseball update. So let's start with the New York Yankees and the New York Mets just completed a Subway Series, and we'll rewind back to Friday. And that was the split two-stadium doubleheader, and actually, I've been our friend Jim Baumbach. After the first game at Yankee Stadium, along with a couple of other writers, took a jog from Yankee Stadium to Shea Stadium. It was
really.
It was it's a 17-mile jog. He did it in 2 hours. He got there right before the start of the second game. So we'll definitely talk to Jim about his run from Yankee Stadium to Shea Stadium next week.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you know, we knew that he's come on our show late a couple of times, and he said he was coming back from a half marathon or training from a half marathon. So we knew that he was a runner. So That is cool. Let's say we'll talk about that next week. But let's talk about the games that happened on Friday. And if we look at the first game, the Yankees put Dan Geis on the mound. Now, the Yankees that game were destroyed. They got killed 16-6. And, Evan, I know you're very superstitious. You said the Yankees never win when your brother's at the game. And you were at that first game on Friday, and I don't know if I want you at any games anymore.
That was the first time in a long time that the Yankees have lost while I was there.
15-6, Carlos Delgado batting .240. I mean, everybody hates him. 9 RBIs in the game, Evan.
But I will tell you one thing, Mark. I can guarantee the Mets will never beat the Yankees in that stadium again. I will bet on it.
Yeah? You think so?
Yes, I do think so. Well, during the regular season.
Touche, the catch. All right, but that first game, Dan Geis, not a beautiful performance. Now, Dan Geis has been very good filling in relief after Jabba Chamberlain was in the middle of his transition. He would come in for a couple of innings of relief, did a good job in AAA, a 1.98 ERA, so very good there. And then when he got his first start last week, he was very, very good. I believe it was 6 innings or 6 innings plus. He didn't allow an earned run. I mean, it might have been 6 2/3, if I remember correctly. And he had a great start. So you look at all the past stuff that Dan Geis has done. He is a 31-year-old rookie, though. He's 31 years old, so he's really a career minor leaguer. And he did not do that well on Friday. And as we said, they lost 15-6. It was just a terrible game overall. Oldendorf came in with nothing. He ended up getting sent down.
Finally.
And Kayagawa came up.
Well,
and then Kayagawa was sent down right after that, and they called up David Robertson. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But Dan Geis did not have a good appearance and good outing, I should say. And I don't know. I think the Yankees might try to stay with him as long as they possibly could, but he showed you that he's a 31 career minor leaguer. You know, don't get too excited with Dan Geis because, as I said, the relief appearances were good. The first start was good. AAA was good. And he came out against the Mets and did an awful job. It was 4 innings. I believe it was 6 runs on 5 hits, if I'm remembering correctly. A terrible performance by Dan Geis. And I don't know what the Yankees are going to do with him now.
Yeah, you know, he's been great. I mean, I guess that was his first time really being shaky, and it was a hot day out, and, you know, when it's hot out, the ball just seems to fly off the bat. I knew going to the game it was not going to be a low-scoring game. This Pelfrey was going for the Mets, so it was two pitchers that you were not sure how they were going to do, and unfortunately, Girardi benched half the team, and the Mets outscored the Yankees. And Carlos Delgado, 9 RBIs, him alone could have beaten the Yankees. He was just incredible that game. I was watching. He hit a grand slam off of Ohlendorf, hit a 3-run home run off of LaTroy Hawkins. He was just playing incredible. And, you know, the only real excitement of the game, I'm a Yankee fan, of course, and the only real excitement for me was the squirrel running around through the outfield. And then at one point of the game, someone ran onto the field. So that was the most exciting point of the game for me. It was actually great. I don't know, Mark, if you've ever been to a game when someone's ran on the field before.
I have.
Well, this big African-American guy starts running on the field.
You got to bring race into it. You got to bring race into it.
I'm just saying who he is. So he jumps over the fence, and he starts running through the outfield towards center field, and he's just, like, trotting along. He was very large, so he couldn't really run very fast. And then you see this security guard run out there and level him, and then you just see 10 more security guards just jump on top, and they just start beating him to the ground, They started to arrest him. All right. And they escorted him off the field down to the bottom. Handcuffs, that's the word. So then they took him to the bottom. And we were actually sitting next to the person that I was with is friends. He works for the Yankees dugout. He works for the clubhouse, excuse me. And he's friends with the head of the clubhouse. So we were actually sitting with the person who was head of the clubhouse at the time of this whole scenario. And he said that the security guards are nasty people, and they take these people down to the cell, and they beat them underground, And then finally they go to jail at the end. And so if you were ever thinking about running on the field at Yankee Stadium, not worth it.
I don't know about the whole legal issues there. Beating them up? I don't know.
And they actually do. I guess you can break his nose, and they say, no, he broke his nose when he fell to the ground and we had to stop him.
That's, well, I guess that is pretty exciting, very interesting stuff, but certainly made good points about Carlos Delgado. Had a career day for sure. Unbelievable job, but I don't know what the Yankees want to do with them guys now. I don't know if they have anybody else. They're going to have to make some trades.
Well, I think after one bad start, you still got to give them another
shot.
There's
nothing else that they could do except making trades. There's nobody else in their system unless they want to bring Keigawa back, which I don't think would be very advantageous for the team at all.
Because I think that his first very good start last week earned him two more starts. So that's how Girardi usually works it with his pitchers. So they send him back down? Oh, yeah, they sent Keigawa back down. So anyway, about Dice, since he pitched well last week, I believe that Girardi is going to give him two more games from that game. This game he did not pitch well, and then they're going to see how he does his next start, and depending on how he does in that start, then we'll probably see. And it also depends on who else they have at the time. There's a lot of people coming off the DL. You have Chin Ming Wong that has to make his return. You have...
Well, Wong's not going to come back till September, but I think Ian Kennedy is pretty close. I think Ian Kennedy is pretty close. So maybe, I don't know if Ian Kennedy is... he might be ready to make his next start, actually. I'm not totally sure. I think Ian Kennedy is pretty close, though. I think it's really between Geis and Rasner, but Geis has only had two starts, and Rasner's last 3 to 5 starts have not been good.
Well, today he did not pitch badly.
He was okay today. I didn't like the lineup that Girardi put out there at all. But before we get to today's game, let's go back to Friday, the second game. After the Yankees lost 15-6, very good job. You know, it doesn't matter how much you lose by, because you lose. So the Yankees did not let it affect them that they lost by 9 runs. They came out, came back, and hit 9-0. So it was an excellent job by them. To get the win there, they shut him out. Beautiful job in the second game, and I don't have any complaints with that.
Well, the Mets did not play well, though. Since this is a New York show, we should talk about both sides of the spectrum. And you know, the Mets go back to Shea, and they did not play well at all. They were not. It was a favorable pitching matchup. Well, neither aces were on the mound. It was Ponson. Was it Ponson that night?
Yeah, it was Ponson that night.
Yeah, it was Ponson versus Pedro. So I guess the Mets had the large advantage there. But Pedro did not have his stuff, and Ponson pitched very well for the Yankees. It was
Pedro Martinez has not done well since coming back from the DL. He's not giving the Mets what they expected from him. Not a good job. And again, with Ponson. Now, Ponson hasn't done that bad this season. I believe he was with Texas. He was 4-1 going into Friday night's game. He was 4-1 with a 3.88 ERA. So that's not even really that bad. I mean, I know a lot of people didn't have confidence in him, including myself. And Ponson did go out there and do a beautiful job. But again, remember with Geist, I mean, you started, you know, sort of getting comfortable with him, and he had a bad start. And I'm not gonna jump right on Ponson and say, you know, excellent job. I mean, he did an excellent job, but I'm not going to start having a lot of confidence in Ponson by any stretch. I mean, you certainly have to wait it out a little bit. But 6 innings of shutout ball, struck out 4, allowed 5 hits. He did a great job.
Switching over to Pedro, he pitched 5.2 innings, but he threw 106 pitches. And I think that's a lot of pitches, considering he just came off of a big surgery. And I think they should be taking better care of his arm if they want him to last to later in the season. This Pedro I do not believe that he can be a very successful pitcher anymore. He could be an effective pitcher. He cannot be a shutout pitcher like every Met fan and a lot of people still believe he can be. And if he continues to go out there in a game that you're losing already, pretty big, and you're throwing 106 pitches. I understand it's a doubleheader, and you're going to have to pitch more because your bullpen is tired, but he has a tired arm, and he should not be throwing 106 pitches.
The Mets have been letting their pitchers go very deep into the games all season. I mean, Johan Santana averages over 100 pitches every game. I mean, they're letting their pitchers throw a lot of pitches, and I don't know if that's going to help them down the road, and Santana hasn't even been lights out as it is, and I guess that's a good transition into yesterday's game, where Andy Pettitte, who's been great all season and had another great game yesterday, faced off against Santana, and Santana now, the Mets are 0-5 in Santana's last five starts. They have not gotten a win in Santana's last five starts, which is really not good, and Santana hasn't been doing that bad. He's not the lights-out pitcher the Mets had hoped for when they got him, but again, you can't, I mean, they've lost it the last five times he's pitched. And, you know, he threw 113 pitches, you know, and again, he's not the lights-out pitcher, and he's throwing over 100 pitches. He's going to be tired later on in the season, too, and the Mets are extremely lucky that their division is crappy. I mean, the Yankees would be in first place in their division. The Mets are under 500, and they're only a few games out of first place. So, I mean, the Mets are really lucky at this point in the season to be where they are in the standings with their record.
And talking about the Mets division, the Phillies are playing Texas right now. And last time I checked, they were down 3-0. I'm not sure. Is this an active scoreboard? I believe it was the sixth inning, and they were down 3-0. I may be wrong.
I don't think they'd be on. I don't think they'd be on now because the ESPN game is on.
They had a 7 o'clock game. 6 o'clock game, excuse me. And
they're in the top of the seventh. Texas leads 3-1.
So Philadelphia, who started off great, has not been playing well, and a big reason for that may be Chase Utley, who has really started to go cold, who was really carrying Philadelphia. He started off incredible, and now his average is under 300. He had a good solid game yesterday, but Chase Utley has just started off. And Jimmy Rollins, of course, who also who's batting 266 now. we have our Stones in the background with our who are going to be joining us later in the show, who just knows pretty much everything about every single player. You'll see later in the show. So anyway, the Phillies have really been going downhill. Atlanta also started off well. Chipper's here for them, and they're not playing well. And so it really, even though the Mets are under 500 and the Yankees are way over 500, the Mets are in a better position right now.
Yeah, that's the way it works out. But back to Saturday's game, after the Yankees lost 15-6 in that first game at Chase Stadium, they came back 1-9. Saturday 1-3-2. Pettitte, an excellent outing again. Six innings, just two runs, struck out four. He threw 88 pitches. He threw five innings prior to a 53-minute rain delay. Came back out for one more inning. David Wright, first battery finish after the rain delay. Solo shot to left. But Pettitte was able to get out of the inning. That home run by Wright made it 3-2, and that was the final score. Pettitte and Messina have been really consistent for the Yankees this season. You could always Pettitte I still trust more than Messina, but you can really rely on all of them, on both of them, this season so far. So an excellent job by Pettitte, and the Mets have to do something about Santana because they don't win with him on the mound anymore despite his performance.
Yeah, Santana is 7-6 now. Excuse me, 7-7, and they were not expecting that when they got Johan Santana, the high-speed pitcher in the league. And all they're doing is he's going out there tiring out his arm. He has a 2.93 ERA, which is very good, but the Mets just can't seem to score runs when he's on the mound.
And even though he has that 2.93 ERA, if you rewind back to Tuesday, I believe it was, Mets versus the Mariners, not a great series for the Mets against a terrible Mariners team. Santana gives up a grand slam, all unearned runs. Felix Hernandez hit a grand slam, the pitcher. The first pitch that he saw from Johan Santana, an opposite field home run. Grand slam for Felix Hernandez.
And yeah, it was just incredible.
real. I mean, the first pitch you saw, it was actually a good piece of hitting going the other way with it, and a grand slam. So those runs were unearned, even though Santana is the one of you with the grand slam, but with errors and stuff, it didn't count towards his ERA. But, I mean, he still does not allow a lot of runs. He only allowed 3 runs to the Yankees. The Mets did not produce enough offense against Andy Pettitte. And that just seems to be a common trend with all teams lately against Andy Pettitte. So, and I believe Pettitte's now 9-5, so.
And he started off, I think, 5-5. He was not good to start off the season, and he's finally starting to get into his groove, which Yankees really need. But Yankees are hurting with their pitching, especially now that Chin-Ming Wong is out. And
that brings us into today's game with Darryl Rasner. And I don't think Joe Girardi wanted to win the game today. They wanted to tie up the series, the season series, that is, at 3-3. And Girardi puts out all righties except for Johnny Damon. Giambi didn't play. Abreu didn't play. Cano didn't play. You had Wilson Bettman in. You had Jose Molina in. Posada was at first base. You had Justin Christian out in right field. I mean, I don't know what Joe Girardi's doing. And then later on, when they pinch it for Darryl Rasner, Chad Mueller comes in to pinch it. I don't understand what he's doing. Later on in the game, you saw some Giambi. You saw some Alex Rodriguez. But, I played the whole game. I'm sorry. But Abreu never saw the field. I don't understand what Joe Girardi was doing today. And if, I don't know, Rasner's been very bad his last 4 outings or so, and I don't understand how he could have that much confidence in Rasner, who's been struggling his last outings, to send out this terrible, terrible lineup with, I mean, Christian and Benhamid, and I don't understand. It makes no sense.
I don't know if the players are hurting or what, but it had happened a lot with Girardi, that he just benches random players on any given night. And if the Yankees want to win, especially now that their pitching staff is hurting, they're going to need their lineup at full strength on a night-to-night basis. And when you're putting out – when you have your bottom 6-9 hitters who are not the – you that
garbage.
You can't, maybe not garbage, but just not – as good of players as the Yankees are capable of putting in, when you have Abreu and Cano and excellent players and Giambi on your bench, it says, how do you expect to win the game?
It makes no sense. I mean, Chad Mueller, when he pinch hit, did come just a couple of feet away from a home run, but he didn't hit it. I don't understand. I mean, I don't care that Wilson Bettman is a righty. I don't want Wilson Bettman in the game. He's not a good hitter. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And Rasner's been bad, and he was bad again. He did not have a good game today.
But Wilson Bettman did hit a monstrous home run today.
He did.
420 feet estimated, and you saw A-Rod right after he hit the home run. He just said, "Wow." Drilled that, but I think that's the first time I ever saw him hit in the air. I usually just see him ground out. So it was nice for a change.
Rasner wasn't awful. He only allowed 2 runs in 5 innings, struck out 3, but, you know, his command was a little off. He walked 3 as well. And I don't understand. I mean, if you already wanted to pull that move, maybe with Pettitte on the mound, who you could have more confidence in, I can understand. But with Rasner going out there and the way his last few starts have been going, I just can't understand it. And now, you know, Rasner and Geis really have to battle it out because Ian Kennedy, he's going to come back. He's going to make his way back into the rotation very shortly, and one of them's going to have to go.
But you really have to tip your hat to Oliver Perez today, who pitched a gem. He didn't even let up a base runner until the 4th inning. And his final numbers were he pitched 7 innings, 106 pitches, 3 hits and 1 earned run. He had 8 strikeouts, and there was this one at bat. I don't remember. It was the fourth inning, and it was Jeter was on second. It was the first time the Yankees had a base runner, and he had a 9 pitch at bat with A-Rod. He started off the count 3-0. He battled back and struck him out, and I just knew at that point that the Yankees just weren't going to be able to score runs today off of him. He just really went out there, pitched his best. It's Oliver Perez, he actually got threatened that if he didn't pitch well, he was going to be sent down. So today he really had to go out there and prove that he was capable of being a starting pitcher for the New York Mets. He went out there, and not only that, but it's also a money year for him. This is the end of his contract. So good for him. 7 strong innings, shut down the Yankees. And I'm pretty sure he'll be staying in the rotation after that starts.
I agree with you. And before we move into our fantasy baseball update, I want to talk about the Yankees bullpen for a minute, because the Yankees bullpen is absolutely horrendous. Ross Ohlendorf was just sent down. I don't know why LaTroy Hawkins has not even been released yet. I don't even want him sent down. There's no reason for him to even be on the roster of New York Yankees. He's absolutely terrible. He's never good when he comes in. He is an awful, awful pitcher, and he does not deserve to be there at all. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And the whole bullpen for the Yankees really isn't good. I mean, who do you trust to go out there? Edward Ramirez sometimes will have a good outing, but, I mean, that's not really who – I mean, you don't really have necessarily a lot of confidence in him. Jose Veras sometimes has good outings, but, again, all these people are inconsistent, and when these guys come in, I don't have confidence in any of them, and I just don't understand it. But the good news is – now, they called up a pitcher by the name of David Robertson. Robertson was called up to AAA, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. He worked his way through the system very, very quickly, and after Ohlendorf, with his terrible performance on Friday, they called up David Robertson, and he's nicknamed Jabba 2. He's been called Jabba 2 by the New York Post, and they don't call him Jabba 2 because he's a power pitcher, but they call him Jabba 2 because he could fill that eighth inning role. His fastball is not 98 like Jabba. It maxes out at about 92, 96 miles per hour. But with that, he has supposedly an excellent curveball. And Robertson got into the game today. I knew Robertson was in the system for a while. I read about him. I was hoping they would call him up, and they finally did. So I'm very happy that the Yankees chose to do that. And today, David Robertson, he went 2 innings. He did allow a run and 4 hits, but you know, it was his first major league start, so you got to cut him some slack. He did get out of a little bit of a jam with a double play. But David Robertson is predicted to be an excellent, excellent pitcher, and I think down the road he could fill in as that eighth inning guy that the Yankees have been looking for, especially after Josh Chamberlain transitioned into a starter.
He's probably one of those guys in the Yankees farm system that Dan Novick, when we had him on a few weeks ago, our baseball specialist, said that the Yankees really do have a lot of very solid pitchers in the farm system. And come playoff time, they have the potential of having one of the best bullpens. I don't know how you can predict that, considering you have no idea how a pitcher is going to play in the incredible, difficult stature of Yankee Stadium. But, you know, he pitched well today, and we'll see who else the Yankees can bring up.
Yeah, he has a nasty curveball, so it should work for him. He's still young, so just wait around. But he's already in the majors. He worked his way through the system very, very quickly. So the Yankees hope and expect good things from him. And, you know, that's all you can say. Now, I'm actually looking at the updated Yankees depth chart, which was updated as of today, and Dan Geis is not listed in the rotation. They actually have Ian Kennedy in that spot, so I think Ian Kennedy will be making his next start. They do have Geis currently in the bullpen, but
I like Geis in the bullpen.
I think the Yankees are going to have to make some moves, though, because if Kennedy's coming off the DL, you can't just move Geis to the bullpen. There's something going on there. I'm sure the Yankees will or did make some sort of a roster move, but
well, they listen Ohlendorf down.
Yeah, but then they called David Robertson up.
Well, is David Robertson here? Oh, he is. Yes, he is. Hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how official it is, because I have seen things that were inaccurate on this depth chart before.
Wait,
but
it was Christian.
I just wanted to point it out.
Christian isn't there.
Touche. So maybe the Yankees did something to Christian. I'll check that out. But that's the story right now. The depth chart has Ian Kennedy back in the rotation. So that's the scoop on that.
Good news.
So it appears Dan Geist is in the bullpen, and I agree. I do like him in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So now, why don't we take our 50-second commercial that we promised you before. We'll take a 50-second timeout, and it is important to know that it is 50 seconds. You will understand why very shortly, so we'll be back in 50 seconds. We'll do a little more Yankees and Mets, and then we'll bring in our fantasy baseball guys. So we'll be right back in 50 seconds.
50. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, July 7th is the 50th episode of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle. And on Monday, July 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a special 3-hour show jam-packed with tons of guests, including Fox announcer and New York Rangers radio broadcaster Kenny Albert and news-based sports writer Jim Bombach. And as I said, there will be so much more. Log on to sportsheavenwithmarkanddevin.webs.com for more details.
Okay, welcome back to the show. And as we mentioned earlier, that the commercial did mention Kenny Albert and Jim Bombach. We also do have Bruce Beck confirmed for that show. He will definitely be there. We are working on more guests. We may have Jason Stark. We may have a few other writers. And again, as the commercial stated, Sports7 with Mark and Devin. webs.com. We'll keep updating every time that we get a. We'll keep updating every time we get a new guest. So that's sportsheavenwithmarkandevin.webs.com. We have a caller on the air. You're on with us, Sports7 with Mark and Evan, 917 area code.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can.
What's going on?
How are you? First time, long time. How are you, Jim?
Thank you. We're doing good.
I got a question. My name is
Go
Randy.
Ahead.
I have a question for you. You're talking about the Yankees lacking a bullpen, and I agree that Vulcans has been ultimately ineffective this year, but are there really that many bullpens in the league that you would say have depth and quality, or is what's wrong with the Yankees systematic, or what's wrong with the league? There's not a whole lot of bullpen help out there.
The pitching has been a little bit depleted around the league this season. I mean, people have been getting hit hard. But I think with the New York Yankees, I mean, at least if you look at the Mets, I mean, they have a couple of guys there with a 2-something ERA there, some guys that you could trust, like Feliciano, who's been great. But the Yankees really don't have one solid guy except for Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
Who happens to be a top 3 closer in the league? That does help.
It certainly does help. I mean, he hasn't blown a save at all this season. He's way ahead of his pace from last year. He's really done a fantastic job. But, you know, in other bullpens, there's at least an eighth-inning guy or maybe a middle-innings guy, one other guy on the team that you have confidence in, and I don't think any other Yankee pitchers you could really have confidence in.
And, Randy, that is true that around the league there are a lot of bullpens that are depleted, but when you do look at the standings, for the most part, the teams that are in first place or close to first place are teams that do have a solid bullpen. Boston has a very solid bullpen. The White Sox, the Cardinals have a very solid bullpen. The Cubs have a very solid bullpen. So when you look around the league, yes, a lot of teams are struggling in the bullpen area, but the teams that succeed are the teams that have the strong bullpen.
All right, last point, and then I'm going to drop the call. I agree with that fact, and clearly having a good bullpen and pitching depth in general makes for winning teams. But do you think the Yankees are better off making a trade? Two-part question. One, if the Yankees were to trade for relief help, who is it you'd like to see them trade? Because they've already been going on a youth movement, and I'd like to see them keep the farm system stocked and growing. And, you know, I'll leave it at that. If they were to go out there and try and pick up one or two of the relievers on Pittsburgh or someone else, do you really think that they'll ultimately solve the problem, A, and B, who would you like to see them get rid of on the major league or minor league level?
Who would I like to see them get rid of? That's a good question. I mean,
I'd love to see them get rid of LaTroy Hawkins, who they got. I don't know why they got.
But I don't know. I don't know how many teams would take LaTroy Hawkins. He's really terrible. You know, well, actually, you know what? If you wanted to send him to Pittsburgh and get Marte, he has had some success in the National League. So maybe the Pittsburgh Pirates might want to take LaTroy Hawkins to the National League, and the Yankees could get somebody solid in that move.
Yeah, that's one thing they could do. Or also they could just bank on their farm system coming up with some solid pitchers. Maybe they don't want to make a move right now because, like you said, this is the youth movement, and maybe they'll wait it out the season, see if they have any youth from the farm system coming up who can be successful, and at the end of the year, then the Yankees can do what they do best and pick someone up.
I agree. Thank you guys very much.
All right.
Not a problem.
Thanks for your call. That is my brother, who is on his way back from Stratton. And thanks for your call.
And we are awaiting our fantasy experts to get on the air, so they'll be with us momentarily. It's Sports 7's version of Stones. And we'll explain that. I'll tell you right now, as we wait for them, why we call them the Stones. It's because with us tonight, we will have Michael and James Gladstone. So I just kind of like to call them the Stones. So we will see Michael and James Gladstone momentarily. They'll give you a fantasy baseball update. They're with us right now. And Michael and James, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the air tonight.
Well, thanks, Mark, for having us on the show. This is Michael Gladstone, one of the Stones. And next to me, I have my twin brother, James. So we wanted to start with a few players that in the fantasy world, that you might want to consider picking up. James, would you like to start?
Sure. We'll start off with the pitchers. Now, first off, we have Manny Parra of the Brewers. And, you know, he's just coming off a no-run start, and he's allowed 3 earned runs in his last 3 starts. So if you're looking for a pitcher if you have Zimbrano on the DL or you're just in some difficulty, he's a great option. And second guy I like is Kevin Slowey of the Twins. And, you know, he just today, he pitched a 9-inning shutout with only three hits, and he's been pretty solid his last 3 starts as well. So he's another great option that I like.
Wait, before you continue on, you know, I know those guys are coming off a couple of good starts, but should fantasy owners have confidence that they could continue to do that throughout most of the remainder of the season?
Well, I would trust Parr. I mean, he's a pretty reliable pitcher because he's had success in the past, especially last year. He's been good. I haven't heard too much about Slowey. I don't know if he's the most trustworthy pitcher, but Parr is definitely someone to consider. He's a good option if you're having some struggles. You could expect a nice start from him.
I mean, you should be careful when you put them in, but I mean, it's really if you're struggling at this point.
Well, I mean, should these be players that somebody, you know, if they need to make a roster move, should they drop somebody? I mean, should these pitchers be guys that they're definitely making room for the long term, for the remainder of the fantasy season, or are these like interim guys just for the time being until, you know, some of the injured players come back?
Yeah, these are definitely guys you just want to put in for the meantime. I mean, these aren't big names we're talking about.
Of course, Mark. It also depends on what your team needs. If you need someone for the interim while someone's injured, then you're going to get him for the interim. You pick him up and he keeps pitching well. It's fantasy baseball. It's not something you're spending $1 million on a player. You can just drop him and pick someone else up.
And if you have a deep league, these are people that if there's 10 teams in your league, and you're probably going to be looking for pitchers, and these are just good guys to have. I mean, there's obviously other options, but these are the two of the people that we like right now.
And I also know a lot of people that just pick up a new pitcher every single time he's starting. So they have one roster spot for that, so that would be a good person to have. So what about from the batting side? Who do you guys like who's probably not making the most?
Well, I have one guy. Evan Longoria. I'm sure he might be in a bunch of leagues. I know that some situations he's not. He's still a free agent. He is the number two ranked player in Yahoo in the past week. He has 4 home runs in the past week, just behind Mark Teixeira, who has 6. He got off to a slow start. It was a little disappointing.
Batting under 250 at the beginning
of
the year.
Yeah, but now he's batting up to 270, and he was moved to third in the lineup. They moved B.J. Upton, who was previously third, to the leadoff spot. So I'm there successful right now with that move. And so Longoria is going to have a lot of opportunities for RBIs right now with Upton and Crawford right in front of him. So if you don't have him, he's definitely someone to pick up. He's third base, and so he's definitely a good option. If he's a free agent in your league, I would definitely pick him up as soon as possible. James, do you have any batting?
Of course, for Longoria, not only is, of course, it doesn't help for fantasy numbers, but not only is he good offensively, but he's been very sharp on the defensive side. So he's really the real deal, and he's going to be in the league for quite some time. Of course, we might as well talk about Mark Teixeira and his 3 home runs the other day. I mean, it's been last year, of course, he got off to a slow start in Texas, and once he came over to the Braves at the end of the year, he was phenomenal. So we should hope to see another great end of the year for him. Another guy I like who probably available in some leagues would be Placido Polanco, the second baseman of the Tigers. He's now batting .320, and of course, second baseman on the Tigers in a great hitting lineup. And he's not playing every day, but you know he's not going to give you a lot of home runs and RBIs, but he's a great contact hitter. So if you're looking for lots of hits and average, then he's your guy at second base, especially if you got a struggling second baseman.
And, of course, he had that great season last year where he batted over 340, wasn't
it? I think over 340.
Yeah, so I mean, he's reliable for another good batting season this year.
So what else do you have? You guys have for us? You have a pickup of the week, a drop of the week, a bust of the week, an MVP of the week, or even of the season? Any of those guys floating around?
Let's see. Well, I would say the MVP of the week would be Mark Teixeira, as we discussed. He's really stepping it up now, and that's what the Braves needed, because with Chipper Jones injured now, they really need a secure batter in that lineup, and he's definitely had success in the past after the All-Star break, and he's definitely heating up to have that same success that he's had in the past. I would say the pitching MVP, pitcher that was MVP of the week. James, want to help out on this one?
I liked Garza.
Matt Garza of the Rays.
Yeah.
He had pitched 9 innings, only giving up 1 earned run against the Marlins. He was excellent. And he's a good guy to consider if you're having struggles, but I would still recommend Parra or Slowey over him.
Talking about those Rays, you guys think they're going to continue to be hot, or do you think they're going to start
pretty
to cool
amazing
down?
What the team they've gathered this year, because, I mean, with Shields, Kazmir, you know, with Garza and Sunstein, they really got a good rotation going. And I really think they can keep this up. I mean, I don't know if they're going to stay they'll be able to be in first place at the end of the season, but, you know, they've got a really great chance to make the playoffs, you know.
And I think the lineup, a lot of the guys are still only starting to heat up now with Imamura. He was struggling in the beginning, so I think he could step it up. And Crawford, of course, he has a low average right now, and he's really he's swiping a lot of bags lately. He's getting on more. He had a few home runs. And then same with Upton, who's moved to leadoff. He already broke his stolen bases from last year. he's really up there. He's in the top, definitely in the top in the MLB in stolen bases. And in the leadoff spot, he's going to steal more, and he could be a great leadoff hitter because he could hit for average. And then, and he's probably going to start stepping up too because he's only hitting around 283 right now, so you could expect more from him. So I think they could keep it up for a while. They might not stay in first place, as James said, but they're a team to watch for in the playoffs, I believe.
Yeah, they do certainly have a very good rotation.
Anything else to add to the fantasy? Or?
I think we're going to let you get back to your show, Mark.
Well, we want to switch over to the Mets with you guys. You know, you're big Mets fans.
Of course, I feel. There's a little too much Yankee pride going on. So.
Yeah, we figured you guys could root for your Mets on this show.
Yes.
But first thing I want to ask you guys is, of course, Willie Randolph got fired. And how do you guys like the way he got fired? As a Met fan, do you think that was did they do that the right way or not?
No, not at all. I think that the Will Pons, that's the owner of the Mets, they did a very poor job with it. Actually, what happened was before they were set to take the road trip to Los Angeles. They were going to play the Angels in the series. And Willie had known that the talks about the firing, that's what was going on, and Will Pons were considering that. And so Willie had asked Omar that if they wanted to fire him, that they do it before the road trip. And as we know, after the first game in which the Mets won in Los Angeles, he was fired. So, but it's not just that, not going along with what Willie's request, but the Will Pons didn't really make any public addresses talking about it. It was kind of all of a sudden, even though there were kind of rumors going on, people didn't really know that it was true, and it just happened all of a sudden. And I think it surprised a lot of people, especially after the Mets' victory in the first game. So I think that overall it was poorly done, and I was a little disappointed in the way that it happened.
But now, James, do you think Jerry Manuel is doing a good job as the new Mets manager?
Yeah, I really like what he's brought to this team because, you know, with Willie, it's really been a too conservative a team. And the first thing that Jerry said to Beltran, he really made it a point that he should start stealing more because, you know, he's got that great career on base percentage. But, you know, the Mets are a fast team, and they really have to utilize their speed because that's what they did in, you know, 2006 where they had all that success. They, you know, stealing all the bases. I mean, they've got Reyes, you know, Castillo, and then Wright with, you know, he's still a record career, I think 35 steals last year. So, I mean, they've got a really great team there, and they've got to find ways to produce runs, which they've, you know, haven't had success with.
And,
but, you know,
go ahead.
Well, you know, I like what Jerry's doing. You know, he finally sat David Wright the other day, and then he moved him over to DH during the interleague. And, you know, David Wright needs to sit more because, you know, no one can play. No one can play all season. You know, he was the only player in the MLB to play every inning of every game. So it was nice to see him sit down, and the next day he had two home runs. I mean, I'm not saying that was
the exact result of that, yeah.
But,
it's,
you know,
very big on certain players because he's known that last year Willie was putting in Wright and Reyes almost every game, and then especially Reyes, as we know, he really struggled in the back end of the season, and he only finished with 280 average. So I think Jerry's a smart manager. He understands that the Mets need to prepare for the end of the season because it's going to be a close race in the NL East. Because, I mean, all the teams are pretty close, and he's definitely doing a good job in that aspect.
And one more question before you guys go. Do you have anything else to contribute to our previous Subway Series discussion that we were having earlier in the show? Any thoughts on the Subway Series?
Well, I think we should talk about Delgado a little. Mets fans have been giving him a hard time. He's batting under .240. What is it now? He's batting, under .240 now? around the 240 area. So it's obviously a big struggle with him, especially when he's you know, up there in the lineup. He's getting a lot of opportunities with men on base, and he's just really been struggling to convert and knocking those runs. But he had that big night with the 9 RBIs. And, I mean, we obviously know that he could step it up some games, but...
But if you forget about that one day, I think he's gone, you know, 0 for his last 21. So that day is really just not... You shouldn't look at that as anything going to change what's been going on, because... You know, he's going to be the same Delgado after that game. And
yeah, they say home runs don't get you out of a swamp.
No.
Yeah. And,
even though he had...
And they left those pitches right where he likes them, so that's not...
So, yeah, I think the Mets are going to have to start looking for some first basemen, especially after the season. I think a big option here would be Mark Teixeira, whose contract ends for the Braves. The Mets definitely have the money for that, and it's... I mean, it would be great if they could get him into the lineup. I would do wonders for the Mets, and that's pretty much exactly what they need, just to fill in a spot there in first base that they could just trust, because they've been just moving around people. I know Tatis has played some games at first base. So, I mean, they've been struggling with Delgado, moving around the lineup. He's batted seven some games. I think if they just got a solid first baseman like Teixeira, a lot of their struggles could just be over with.
Yeah. Now, last Mets question. Do you guys think there's anywhere else the Mets need improvement? Or if they improve their first base, that will really help their team out?
Well, they can obviously make some improvements. I know they've been old team, and, I mean, they should probably – get some young guys some playing time to get some experience. But and then with the pitching, they've had troubles. But I think that they do have, you know, Santana and Perez and Main, who are all, and Pelfrey now is starting to look better. So Pedro's not looking great. So maybe if they could just, I mean, work with Pedro or get some other starter, they could have a solid rotation, and, I mean, they should look pretty good.
I mean, of course, we just got Church back today, so that will, of course, add to the outfield. And, well, we had Beltran with his golden sombrero the other day. But, you know, he's top in the league in runs scored. You know, he's been scoring runs for them, so you can't look at that as, you know, he's Beltran. You know, he'll do
what he can easily just step it up right away, because he's a really great athlete. He could kill teams in a number of ways. And then we just had Todd Nixon, who went on the DL today, but as we know, Church just came back, so that shouldn't be much of an issue. So, Mark, we're going to get back to you.
All right, we appreciate your contributions to the show tonight, and I'm sure we'll call on you in the near future.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Thank you. All right, so that was the 4-7 Stones, Michael and James Gladstone, Fantasy Sports Update. And if you have any other fantasy sports questions for them, just email us, 4-7 with Mark and Evan at yahoo.com. That's Mark with a K. We'll relay the message right to them, and we'll get back to you shortly. We only have a couple of minutes remaining in the show, so let's get into the NBA, New York Knicks. Stick with them, being the New York sports show that we are. And the Knicks, 6th overall pick, 2008 NBA draft, because Isaiah traded their number 2 pick away, because Isaiah loved trading away picks. They did not have a number 2 pick. But number 1 overall, Danilo Gallinari, who is from the Italian league. Donnie Walsh claims that he is a great player. He can shoot, he can ball handle, he can pretty much do everything. That's why they chose him. Knicks fans would prefer other players. They did pass up on guys such as Jared Bayless and Eric Gordon. Knicks chose not to them. They said that they were too one-dimensional. They think Gallinari is more of an all-around better player. And, again, drafted out of the Italian league. He averaged about 17 points in the Italian league, which is very good. Seems pretty dominant. But if we look at some of the past guys from the Italian league, those numbers don't always transfer into the NBA. So even if Gallinari is a good ball handler and a good shooter, you know, that's not going to necessarily transfer into the NBA. If we look back a few years ago to the Toronto Raptors, the number one pick overall, not just the first round draft pick, but the number one pick overall, Andrea Bargnani, number one pick overall, taken from the Italian league. And he, again, he was one of those guys averaging around 20 points a game, just really dominant. And he averages in his career so far in the NBA, he averages just under 11 points a game, just under 4 rebounds a game. So, you know, his dominance in the Italian league has not transferred into the NBA, and I can't necessarily say it's going to be the same case with Gallinari, but we've seen the past drafts with the Knicks have not been very successful. The Knicks never seem to take the right guy, and I personally do not know if Gallinari was the right pick here.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just best if you look at the NBA today, there are a bunch of European players in the league, and players like Dirk Nowitzki, they seem like they're incredible players. But when you realize, my brother was at dinner with Vince Carter, and they were talking about all the European players around the league, and Vince Carter was saying that they get taken out of their game so easily. They get banged up a little bit. All you have to do is bang into one of the European players, and they get sensitive, and they start thinking about that hit instead of thinking about the game, and they get taken out of the game. Just like Dirk, if you realize, he hasn't really made it far into the playoffs because in those successful, good teams know how to get his mind out of the game. So I just hope that the Knicks don't have a problem with him. And it's been a trend that the European players are not mentally fit for the NBA. So hopefully that will not be the issue this time. But, you know, pretty much no matter what, whoever the Knicks drafted, he was probably going to be a bust. Just seems like how it always is with the Knicks draft.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we can expect Gallinari to be really a franchise player. I don't know if you could expect it out of Bayless or Gordon either. But, you know, again, it's just one of the things that you have to wait on, and you just hope that his numbers in the Italian do transfer, unlike the Raptors' number one overall pick. 2 minutes remaining in the show. Sports 7 with Mark and Evan is a sports radio show created for informing the public on the latest sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the Internet through blogtalkradio.com from Jericho and Miller. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the host. We do not also claim ownership of any material used on the sports show or on the website, including voiceovers, musical beds, instrumentations, effects, team logos, league, and team names otherwise stated. Is anything you wish to remove, Sports 7 with Mark and Evan at yahoo.com?
Let's play our 50-second commercial one more time.
We will do that momentarily, but first we remind all our viewers to head over to myedimedia.com as well as our official site, sports7withmarkandevan.webs.com. Sports 7 with Mark and Evan now has a YouTube video. View it on the front page of sports7withmarkandevan.webs.com. It is an excellent video. We urge you to listen. And next week, on Monday, we'll be here, not Sunday, Monday, same time, same place, same great show. It's Sports 7 with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Branoff. And believe it or not, next week will be even greater than usual. It'll be 3 hours, a lot to guess. 50th episode, you should definitely listen.
And we give you the commercial followed by Sweet Caroline.
50. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, July 7th is the 50th episode of Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle. And on Monday, July 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a special 3-hour show jam-packed with tons of guests, including Fox announcer and New York Rangers radio broadcaster Kenny Albert and Newsday sports writer Jim Baumbach. And as I said, there will be so much more. Log on to sports7withmarkandevan.webs.com for more details.
can't begin to know him, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Night, and it don't seem so lonely.